Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Back into 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Back to answering the question regarding meat offered to idols, and back to trying to understand the underlying issue, which is a proper understanding of Christian liberty. And the way Paul answers this question, right from the very beginning, indicates to us that this is not going to be a simple yes or no answer. The question, in verse 1 of chapter 8, now concerning things offered to idols, you might expect Paul to say, don't. Don't eat food offered to idols. A simple no answer. Or you might expect him to say, fine, it's okay to eat meat offered to idols as long as you don't do it in the pagan temple or something like that. Something cut and dried, yes or no, easy to understand, easy to apply, that doesn't require a great deal of analysis and thinking on our part. But no, he doesn't answer that way. He answers in a way that's going to require a measure of personal evaluation and decision-making and coming to a conclusion on our own without a cut and dried, yes or no, simple ABC type answer. And he indicates that from the very beginning. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And he goes on from there. We talked about that yesterday. But what is he saying here? He's saying, well, this isn't as simple as it might seem. It depends upon proper knowledge on the one hand, but it also depends upon a proper exercise of Christian love on the other hand. And if you don't have both, you're not going to get this right. So, yes, you've got to think this thing through, and you've got to have the right heart attitude. And so with that background in mind, we now will come back to this question on this Thursday, November 4. And we thank those whose financial gifts have enabled us to teach God's Word on this station. Well, after telling them that they need to understand things properly, but not let their knowledge puff them up with pride, but rather understand that their knowledge is for the purpose of edifying others, and that love requires that that be their approach. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. The people who think they know a lot are actually the ones that don't know as much as they think they do. The people that think they know a lot are actually the ones who don't know enough. Interesting. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. So it takes knowledge, but it also takes love. But then he goes on, as you recall, in verses 4 and 5, to say, in the area of knowledge, first of all, you've got to understand the true nature of an idol. Verse 4, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other god but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, and he's going to go on in a moment, but basically, we start with this. In the area of knowledge, And we've got to have proper knowledge. In the area of knowledge, we understand that idols represent imaginary gods. They exist only in the imaginations of men. They are not real. But there's more than that, because we also have to have a proper understanding of God. There's no other God but one. Verse 6, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we are for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. So on the one hand, we have to understand what an idol is, and an idol is actually nothing. It's just the figment of people's imaginations. It has a great hold on people. People fear the gods that they worship with these idols. People live their lives around some of the aspects of these so-called gods that they worship as idols, but a proper understanding of them is that they aren't anything. There's only one true God. He is God the Father. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God the Father, the source of all that is, and the reason why we exist. That's what he says in verse 6. For us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things. He's responsible for everything that exists. And we for him, we exist for his glory. We exist because he willed for us to exist. We exist because it is his purpose that we exist, and we exist for him. And our purpose is to serve him and honor him and love him and worship him. That's the one true God, God the Father, and the one true God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, verse 6 again, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. The Lord Jesus Christ is as much the source of all that is as is God the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ is as much the source of our life as is God the Father. You can't be any plainer than that. You can't miss the import of that. Jesus Christ is God. And Paul has jumped right into the middle of the mystery of the Trinity, though here he only deals with two persons. But if God exists in more than one person, Father and Son, and both are equally God, both are equally Creator, the source of all that exists, both are equally the source of our life and the reason why we live in this world, if they are both equal in regard to those two things, then it's obvious that God the Father and God the Son are both God, and yet Paul deals with them as two persons of the one Godhead. Mystery of mysteries. Difficulty, impossibility to understand fully. But you see, we're dealing with this question of meat offered to idols, and we've got to have a proper understanding of idols on the one hand. We've got to have a proper understanding of God on the other hand. And if you don't have either of those things, you're going to have trouble with this question. There is, however, more to it than that, and so Paul offers in the verses that follow, and this is for the next several verses, really to the end of the chapter, he offers a mature approach to this question that involves a knowledgeable love, a proper knowledge of idols, a proper knowledge of the one true God, but all of this applied in Christian love. Okay, let's work down through this. Verse 7, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you, who have knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Well, that's the answer to the question of meat offered to idols, and as I already pointed out, it's not a simple answer, not a simple yes or no answer. It depends on this or that. It depends upon this consideration and that consideration, because Christian love toward others is the overarching principle that will determine how you answer certain questions. So let's go down through it again, verse by verse. First of all, be sensitive to your weaker brother. Verse 7. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge that an idol is nothing. It really is nothing. It's just the figment of people's imaginations. But there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. There are Christians who have less knowledge than you do. They have not fully absorbed the truth about idols, that they are nothing. They have not consistently applied that truth to their own understanding and their own practices. It has not really yet fully informed their conscience. And so these people think that eating food offered to idols is partaking in the worship of idols. That's what they think. They're wrong, because an idol is nothing, but that's what they think. And so because they're not clear about the true nature of an idol, that's the import of that word until now, that phrase until now. However, there's not in everyone that knowledge, for some with consciousness of the idol, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol. Paul seems to indicate they will probably grow out of this as they grow and mature, as their understanding begins to permeate their thinking to a greater degree, but up until now, they haven't reached that point. And so until now, they have an imperfectly formed conscience. It's not fully calibrated according to the truth, which they actually know, but it hasn't really fully informed their conscience yet. And therefore, if they eat food that has been offered to an idol, they are going to violate their conscience, because their conscience tells them that to do that is an act of worship, of idolatrous worship. And that bothers them tremendously. Now, they're wrong, but that's what they think. So what should you do in that situation? Don't offend them. Don't cause them to stumble. Don't push their nose in it. There's some very important principles here about the doctrine of Christian liberty that a lot of Christians do not understand and need to. And so we'll come back to it on the broadcast, Lord willing, tomorrow, and take it up where we left it off today, and we trust you'll be able to join us then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.